Hey guys, welcome back for another episode of the Game Boys Podcast. This is Game Boys Podcast number 4. The day is Saturday, March 24th. I'm here with Bowman.
Hey guys, Game Boy number 2 here.
How you doing this week, Bowman? Anything new?
Things are going well, man. I've done a whole lot of nothing.
Okay, good. Yeah, me too. So work's been slow for me, and I spent a lot of time playing games this week.
I did drive out to Augusta, Georgia, which...
Oh, yeah, that's
been,
right.
If you guys have never been to Augusta, Georgia, don't go. We, Lars and I went out to see Crunkwitch.
Okay.
Which was fun.
That's a band, for those of you who don't know.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's definitely something.
Yeah.
So, what do you got for us this week?
Well, to start things off... with another Nintendo news thing, not really so much news, but it's a reality soon. The March 26th, the Wii eShop payment system will be gone. So that means, for those of you who haven't been following this, the Nintendo Wii eShop, not the Wii U one, the Nintendo Wii, the original Wii eShop, is set to close down in January of 2019. So they're going to go ahead and shut down the payment system on March 26th. So that means that after March 26th, you can no longer... add additional Wii points to your account. You can still make downloads, but you can't
right.
download the, you can't purchase the points.
You can basically just download what you've already bought.
Basically, yes.
Yeah, that's weird. For a few reasons. If they're going to keep the servers up, why wouldn't they let you continue buying? That's just leaving money on the table. First of all, that's strange to me. Yeah, and this goes right into what we were talking about recently about game preservation is, believe it or not, there are games that you can only get on the Wii Shop channel, and there's some good ones too. Specifically, the ones that everyone always brings up and the ones that I'm thinking of are, there are like unique Castlevania and Contra games on there, good ones.
Yeah, Castlevania The Adventure Rebirth, which right. is a remake of the Game Boy game.
It's a remake of, like, a bunch of elements from multiple versions of the Game Boy games. So it's like, I think there's two or three games on the original Game Boy of Castlevania, and it's like a mix of a few of those.
Did you ever play it?
The Game Boy one or the Wii one?
Wii one.
No.
The Game Boy one's complete trash. It's like the worst in the series.
Right, which is why this is an important game, because they basically made those games not trash. So, yeah, it's... I'll probably play it eventually, because this doesn't affect me, because I have a modded Wii, which anyone with even the most basic computer know-how can mod their Wii, and that's what people are going to have to do from now on in order to play these games. So from a realistic standpoint, this doesn't affect me. It shouldn't affect a lot of people out there, but a lot of people, there's going to be a lot of people who aren't going to do that and will never play these games.
People want a legal, legitimate way to buy a game.
I understand that from a physical aspect, but from a digital game like this, there's no difference. If they're not accepting payments, they're not accepting payments for it.
Yeah, you want my money, fine.
Yeah, so that's not going to stop me from pirating the game. So yeah, I mean, that's what I recommend to people. If you have a Wii or even a Wii U, you can mod just the Wii.
In the Wii U. Yeah.
So that's what I recommend to people, is just mod their Wii and install these games on there. It's pretty simple. And that's kind of the option that they've left people. And it's also the case for there's a lot of games that they remove over time. Like that, I think you mentioned it a couple weeks ago, Scott Pilgrim game. They remove that. So now the only way to get it is to pirate it on your PS3. So it's just like they kind of put people in a position where the only practical route is to illegally download it. And if that's the route that they want to go, then so be it. It's, you know, it's a much, much different topic, but You know, it's like when they made alcohol legal, people are still going to find a way to get it. You know? And that's the same. It's the same case. When you take these things away, people will find a way to get it. And that's what's happened.
I just don't get why it's so difficult. This is probably my ignorance of why it's so difficult to run these servers. Are they really that costly to them where they have to take them down and put the resources somewhere else? And can't they come up with a way to merge all this stuff together someday?
Yeah, probably, but it does cost them money and resources. So it's like, even if it's just a one room in Nintendo where they have the servers for the Wii, right? Well, then you have somebody who has to maintain the servers and check on them, fix them when they break, and you know, all these things that, yeah, it costs money and they might not be making any money. I mean, there's probably 5 people in the entire world today that are buying a Wii eShop game. Like that's the realization. And so if you pay somebody, you know, let's say there's 10 people today that buy a $5 NES game or whatever on the Wii eShop, so they made $50. You have to pay somebody to maintain these things and to look after them and stuff, probably more than that.
Yeah.
So it becomes a situation where you're just not making enough money to warrant keeping the servers up and running.
That's true. And the thing is, I feel like out of all the shutdowns that have been happening with online services, this has probably been the most efficiently run one, just because they gave people
years,
a shitload of notice.
Years, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, we're still talking January 2019. That's like 6 months from now. No, it's like 8 months from now is when the service will actually be shut down.
But they made these announcements I feel like 2 years ago almost. Like, I feel like they told
maybe like a year ago.
Well, because we were talking about this a long time ago where about them shutting the shop down. No, maybe I'm thinking of the online play. That's been shut down for a while now.
Yeah.
But they've always been good about giving a lot of notice. So it is what it is. It's part of gaming now. You know, online server shutting down. That's just the way it goes, unfortunately. And the alternate option is to mod your systems. That's what it's come down to is in 10, like now, like my Nintendo, my Super Nintendo and stuff, people want to keep those original. And 20 years from now, every 20-year-old console is going to be modified, so it can run all these digital games that aren't around anymore. So it's like every, you know, the type of person that's going to have a PS3 hooked up in 15 years is also the type of person they're going to have it modded with all the digital games and stuff on there, because that's going to be the only way to do it.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we're going to end up seeing. So on that note, just wanted to talk a bit. We talked about it last week, and now it's out. Sea of Thieves.
You want to talk about it? I mean, I haven't touched it yet. That's all I can tell you.
No?
No, not yet.
Well, I just thought it'd be an interesting topic because we were kind of talking about how important it was for Microsoft.
And it's not doing so well in terms of reviews.
Right. So there's a few things I want to touch on here. First of all, what's happened to Rare? And are they ever going to make a good game again? You know, that's one facet of it. And another is, you know, what's happening to Microsoft? What's happening to the Xbox? Like, this was their big... I don't think they have another big game coming out this year. This was their big exclusive.
Yeah, this one was hyped for a long time.
So, and let me check on the Metacritic score here for Sea of Thieves. But, this is an interesting release because everyone was looking forward to it, and it basically flopped. It's all the reviews that I've read say it's essentially an incomplete game. So it's got a Metacritic score right now of 71 and a user score of 5.6. This is essentially like if, you know, Marvel came out with a, like, the Avengers, and it's supposed to, it's projected to make like $1.5 billion in order to make its money, like make the profit that they're expecting. And then it comes out to like a Rotten Tomato score of 60%. You know, it's not, it's like fresh. It's not absolute garbage, but it's also underwhelming and people aren't going to go see it in droves and it's not going to make over $1 billion. That's how I picture this Sea of Thieves situation for Xbox. You know, it's, this is a game they've been hyping for like 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah, I'm still going to hold out and get my own opinion on it just because I do hear people talk about it and say that the game, that it's, it is still kind of, it is still kind of a fun game.
Sure.
And Xbox Game Pass, I have a free trial for it, so I'll be able to sink my teeth into it. So hopefully next week I'll give you my like honest thoughts on it, but from what I'm hearing from everyone else,
from a business standpoint.
Yeah, no, you're right. Like it's not, this was their big their big title and it's not a success, and that's not good. 6.5 on Polygon. And just overall, let's see here, like, yeah, Metacritic 70%. And the thing is, with these scores, every video game that comes out these days gets like 8 or 9 across the board.
That's the thing. If you're sub 80 on Metacritic, it's like nobody's going to waste their time on that game because we've talked about this every week. I've got a pile of 10s on my shelf that I haven't touched yet. So it's like, okay, am I going to go play, you know, let's say I hadn't played it yet, am I gonna waste my time with Sea of Thieves or am I gonna sink my teeth into Breath of the Wild if I haven't gotten to it yet?
Yeah,
you know, that's kind of the position that gamers are in now, because it's not like it was in the 80s and 90s where it's a crapshoot and you don't know if a game is good or not, you know, so you just go and you pick out whatever game looks cool on the box, like the box art. We have a plethora of knowledge now of what's good, what's not. There's games coming out every single day. If you include indie games, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of games that come out every year that are 8s, 9s, 10s across the board, phenomenal games. And frankly, I just, people don't waste their time on mediocre games anymore, you know? And
or it's got to be a title where it's already got an established franchise.
Yeah, like, you know, I'll play the, like, a Dragon Ball Z game that comes out, even if it gets mediocre scores, because I'm a huge Dragon Ball Z fan. But aside from that, I'm not, you know, gonna buy some random first person shooter that got a 7 when there's games that come out that are phenomenal.
This needed to be the issue with this is not so much that it's a mediocre, that it's getting mediocre reviews, because that's subjective, maybe it's decent,
right?
It needed to be a smash hit and it's not, and
everyone wanted it to be a smash hit. That's the weird thing about it.
Well, yeah, I wanted it to be a smash hit too, because I have an Xbox One. I needed something,
right,
to justify my purchase of the system, and it actually has. I wonder if they like made a brand new logo, because if you look at the Xbox One box of it, it says Xbox One console exclusive.
Yeah.
Which is not something that they can put on any of their boxes.
Yeah. It's a it's an interesting situation, because this isn't a game that people were looking to hate on.
No.
This is a game that everyone in the industry for like 3 years has been like, this game looks awesome. Last E3, all the editors were like, Sea of Thieves is a lot of fun. That was possibly, you know, the most fun I had with a game this year. And but the worry that I kept hearing for the last year or so now is, I'm not quite sure I see the point of the game. You know, it's fun, but I don't see how you can make a full game out of it. And that seems to be the criticism now that it's out, is I think people were kind of hoping that they were playing like a tech demo, and I think that was the game.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where they're at now, is just, yeah, it's fun, but it's $60 game and it's fun for like an hour or so just fooling around, and it's nothing more. The criticisms that I've heard is that it should have been like a $10 to $20 game.
I wonder if Microsoft even felt this, and this is why they've been like
pushing it for free. Yeah,
pushing it for free and just trying to get it in people's hands.
Yeah, it's possible. And yeah, so disappointing. We were just talking about the future of Xbox last week and where we thought they were going to go. And this was part of the topic with Sea of Thieves. This needed to be a big hit. It's not. And
Sea of Thieves trying to be a giant cannonball that just launched its way into the Xbox franchise.
Yeah, and instead it missed totally and launched its way into the sea. So, you know, it is what it is. And I'm curious to see what Microsoft has for us at E3, because they better have something. Maybe I'm forgetting something right now, but I feel like I'm drawing a complete blank when it comes to their games that are supposed to be coming out for this system. That's
maybe they'll announce Cuphead 2.
Sure.
I'm kidding, but I love Cuphead, but that's not a
it's not a system seller.
So moving on, some more hype. So hopefully a game that doesn't disappoint. We're going to get our first look at the new Smash Brothers pretty soon.
E3?
No. I believe so. June 11th and June 12th, they're having their Smash Brothers tournament, as well as a Splatoon 2 tournament, which I believe is at E3.
Yeah, it's E3.
So June 11th and 12th, there's going to be a tournament.
But that's not... That's for Wii U, though.
Are you sure?
That tournament, yeah. That's a Wii U Smash Brothers tournament.
Well, I don't know if Polygon misquoted or something, because it says Nintendo is bringing its live tournaments back in E3 and G with this year's events focusing on Splatoon 2 and the newly announced Smash Bros. Game for Switch.
Well,
we're
going to see it at E3 anyway.
Yeah.
Regardless, we're going to see it that weekend. Whether the tournament is the Switch version or not, we're going to see the new Smash Brothers. What are you thinking on it?
The new Smash Brothers?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just want to see the game. I hear more people talking about it, and more people keep touting that there's no way it could possibly be a new Smash Brothers, which just baffles my mind, because we got a reveal of Mario Odyssey and it came out like 9 months later. Mm-hmm. We got a reveal of Splatoon 2, and granted, I know that Splatoon 2 is like, it's Splatoon 2, it's not really like a crazy sequel, but it is a sequel, and it was a lot of new content, and that came out like months later. And I think at this point in time, Nintendo's MO has been, we don't want to reveal games early on and tease them for long periods of time and get people hyped, and then have a release date pushback. Their new MO is, let's work behind the scenes and get games made, and then when it's close to being released, we'll pull the curtain back.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been doing that for a little while now, and it's worked out well. I am hoping, and I also think most signs are pointing, it's definitely not going to be a port.
No.
Like, it's definitely not going to be like a port like Captain Toad. You know, maybe it'll be like Splatoon 2, where it's mostly the same game, but with new levels and characters and things like that, and some new modes. But I don't think this is going to be Smash Brothers for Wii U on Switch with some Splatoon characters added. No. I don't see that happening. I am honestly getting tired of... You're talking about announcing games and then releasing them real quick. I'm getting fucking tired of getting logos. I'm sick of it. Don't announce the game until you have some gameplay to show. Don't announce the game until you have... Like, that Mario Odyssey trailer that you just talked about, they showed gameplay in it.
That's true.
And, you know, show the fucking game. I don't care about a logo.
Maybe Nintendo's cockiness is coming back a bit, because this is when they were trying to... This is when they were amidst the Wii U failure and trying to sell us on the Switch. Because even they had no idea how successful the Switch was going to end up doing.
Nobody did, but... Yeah, I'm sick of... It's not Nintendo. It's every game company. It's, you know, what has it been, 5 years now since they announced the Final Fantasy VII remake?
So, that's just a joke. Square's a joke at this point.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3, still waiting on.
Yeah.
They announced 5 years.
I'm glad I don't care about these games.
Yeah, but it just... it irritates me when... Like, even the Metroid Prime 4. Like, it's cool that they announced it, but show some fucking gameplay. Like, you tell me you don't even have a tech demo to show off for a tense... Like, the Mario Odyssey the first footage we got of that was 10 seconds, maybe less. But that told us everything we needed to know of, oh, it's a 3D Mario game where he's running around, kind of looks like it's open world, kind of looks like it could be like Mario 64. And then later on, we got the confirmation, yes, that is what it's like. You know, would it be so hard to show 10 seconds of Smash Brothers with, you know, a couple new characters on a new stage, and then we go, okay, good, it's not a port, and it's Smash Brothers. That's all we need. We need 10 seconds. Or, you know, Metroid Prime 4. Instead of announcing it's Metroid Prime 4, you show 5 seconds of a first-person perspective of Samus. That's all you need to see and know is, oh, okay, it's a new Metroid Prime. That's all I'm asking. I'm sick of logos with no dates and no, you know, it's just, this has been a problem with the industry for a long time, too. So.
I think it's just a balance of they're afraid. They want to create hype. They want people to feel like they need to purchase the system because all these great games are going to be coming out, and the people who already own it have a lot more to look forward to, keep the momentum in the system alive. But it's also a balance of they don't want to show footage of a game and then later on, like, let's say back then, remember, like, the original Twilight Princess reveal for GameCube, we got detailed footage of it. None of that footage ever really looks like the end product of the game. So I think
you're talking about like that CGI,
the tech demo.
Yeah, that wasn't footage of the game. That was like.
But they talked about it, like, but they showed that footage alongside the announcement.
Yeah.
And I think they really want to have the image.
But it got the message across. It said that footage, even though it wasn't like that, it tells you, okay, this is going to be a realistic, because it was after Wind Waker, this is going to be a realistic looking adult Link in a realistic, typical Hyrule that we're used to seeing in, like, in Ocarina of Time. That's all that video was there for. And that's what I'm saying. You don't even have to show footage of the game. Just have, you know, like previous Smash Brothers announcements, have them playing, have them fighting. It could be a CGI cutscene, but have a couple new characters in there on a new fighting stage, maybe using an item that hasn't been used before. And then we can say, okay, this is pretty much a new game.
I agree with you in the sense that, like, Metroid Prime, it's kind of frustrating that they've announced it and haven't shown anything this much later. But with Smash, where we're already going to get footage within a few months, I'm okay with it.
I think the conversation we're having right now is really indicative of why it can't be a port. Because you've got people talking about it for months. It would just be one of the biggest blunders they could make to be like, after building the hype and having people talk about it for 3 months, be like, it's the same game as Switch.
It's not. It's just simply not logical at this point for like, them to do that. It's just not. And
please understand.
But, and like, people seem to forget that Melee came out also
two years
after the original Smash Brothers, and game development happens for a long time behind the scenes. I mean, they talked about how many years of Breath of the Wild was going on behind the scenes. And
I mean, with these big series, they start immediately. When the game comes out, they're already working on the sequel.
And the thing is, they weren't working on Wii U games worth shit for years at the end. So they knew that the Wii U was a failure, and they knew that they had to put all the resources in the next future gen game, whatever system it was going to end up being on. They started their resources on that. So they had plenty of time. Because I remember you and I were talking, like, towards the end of the Wii U's life cycle, like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Like,
apparently they were making a new Smash Brothers.
Apparently.
So, yeah.
That's where I'm at with that.
All right, well, this has been, I think, beaten into the ground to death, but I thought maybe we'll talk about it. Toys R Us. Gone bye-bye.
What do you want to talk about, Toys R Us?
I don't know. You got any, what's your feeling on Toys R Us? Was that a big part of
your... Yeah, it was a big part of my childhood. And the thing is, like, I was like every other kid. We played a lot of toys growing up. And also, on a gaming note, too, like, that was the place where we got a lot of video games. And I remember you would go up to the displays, and then they would have pieces of paper laid out.
Yeah.
And yeah, I remember that really stuck out. And then you would buy the game, you buy the paper, and then after you were done checking out, you would go to this counter and then give it to the person, and they would swap it out for the game. So I also I've been to Toys R Us in Japan before, and there have, you know, I don't know if you ever got a chance to stop by one.
I didn't think to when I was there.
Those are kick ass. I don't know how much kick ass they are now, but back then when I went there like 15 years ago, I think almost, when I was going to Japan back then, those stores were amazing. Like the amount of video games they had.
There's a Toys R Us in New York City with a roller coaster in it. Is that really? The one? Yeah, I think or a Ferris wheel or something like that. I'm pretty sure. I've been there. You know, it's interesting. You know, it's kind of left. It's strange how the death of this one store has left an entire industry in limbo, basically, where people, the questions are being, I don't think anyone ever thought about it really, but the questions are being posed now of like, what's going to happen to the toy industry? Because Toys R Us accounts for like over a fifth of all toy shipments in the world. So it would be like, you know, at your job or whatever, you work a tipping job, it would be like if like one fifth of your patrons suddenly died. And it was just like, okay, well now, you know, that's, it would change. Now you're starting to ask yourself, because you're losing a fifth of your income and stuff, you're like, well, maybe I should get a different job. Maybe I should go into a different field. You know, that's kind of where we're at now with Toys R Us dying. It's like there's a lot of these smaller toy companies that can't take the hit of losing 20% of their business that instantly.
I didn't think of it that way, but I mean, I just thought that Target, Walmart, all these big stores, their toy sections just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's what affected the business the most.
Yes and no. So you, when you go to Walmart versus Toys R Us, the Toys R Us is the size of the Walmart almost, and it's all toys. So you end up with a lot more choice, and you get things like, okay, so Walmart has like 5 Lego sets or 10 Lego sets, and Toys R Us has like 50 or 100. So there's, you end up getting the more specialty items, and that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about, where it's just like these smaller toy manufacturers who have niche products are going to end up being like, I said 20% of all toys, but for some of those companies, probably 80 to 100% of all their business is Toys R Us, because Walmart isn't stocking those smaller, like I've gone to Toys R Us to get like certain action figures and stuff, where like I used to collect these reaction figures from, what's that company that makes the Funko. They have like a old style action figures. You've seen them, you know what I'm talking about. And like I had to go to Toys R Us to get some of them, because you go to Walmart and they have a few. They have them usually one series at a time. Like, so they have one movie that's being represented, and it's like 3 out of the 6 characters. So there's like 30 or 40 different action figures that are being produced, and Walmart has 4 of them. You know, that's the kind of shit I'm talking about, where it's just like the choice is not there. Whatever's popular at the time is what's being sold. So yeah, you're going to find your Minecraft toys, and you're going to find your, you know, whatever, the big, you know, the Marvel superhero Lego set at the time. But you're not going to get your like obscure like Lego Eiffel Tower like artist set or whatever. You're not going to find that at Walmart. You're going to find the lowest common denominator shit that's going to sell in the highest amount, because every 6-year-old wants Iron Man suit.
You know? I have mixed feelings on the whole thing, because on one hand, when it comes to these stores, I haven't set foot in one in so many years, but at the same time though, I'm not a parent and I don't collect toys.
Yeah.
So it would have been nice to take my kids to like Toys R Us and walk around the store, because there's nothing like, it's not going to be, I don't, because a lot of these types of merchandise are going to go towards online selling and everything. That's where everything's heading. But I don't think toys should necessarily really go that direction, because the part of the fun, actually, like, most of the fun as a kid getting toys was going to the store and seeing all of those toys and picking out which toy you want, seeing them on the shelf. And could you imagine just sitting down on your laptop with your six-year-old and just being like, all right, which one do you want? Like, what looks the most fun? And
yeah,
it's a real shame. And there are efforts to revive the store. I don't know if you read up on it, but
yeah,
the CEO pledged $200 million to try to revive it. I think it's not gonna really help much.
Yeah, I did see that.
Started a GoFundMe for it too,
right?
You guys can donate to Save Toys R Us.
KB Toys, I guess, is coming back. Did you see that?
I did read something about that. What's going on with that?
Basically, for this holiday season, they're going to be doing like a few hundred pop-up stores, kind of like how Spirit Halloween is, where they're not there year-round, but they pop up around Halloween time and stuff. So KB Toys around Christmas time are going to rent out empty spaces, basically, and set up shop for a couple months.
Maybe we'll see a bounce back in interest, because now that people – this affects a lot of people. Like, a lot of people are talking about it, and a surprising amount of people. I thought once the news was announced they were going out of business, people would kind of talk about it for 5 seconds and then be done. But people are continuously discussing this.
People don't know what they have until it's gone.
Yeah.
And I think a great example, although relatively unrelated, is Surge. Surge was discontinued – and people flipped out for years and wanted it back. And now that it's back, it's because it was gone for so long that people – it's become popular enough now that it's been around for like 3 or 4 years now without any signs of going away
again. It's still in stores?
Yeah. So it's one of those things where I think that if Toys R Us is gone and people freak out long enough and it comes back, I think it will be more popular than it was before, because – people will always remember those dark days of no Toys R Us.
Yeah.
You know? I just think we discussed this recently. Big box stores need to get their shit together when it comes to pricing. Like, I told you recently I was doing for work, I had to go to Best Buy and grab a USB cable. And the USB cable was $45 at Best Buy, and it was $5 on Amazon. And that was the cheapest one that they had in the store, was $45.
It's frustrating because I'm always going to prefer going to a store. Not always. I mean, I know that you like online shopping. I love just going out and just going to a store and getting what I need. Like, I don't know. Like, that's something that kind of I've held on to, because my mom and I would go out all the time and we'd go to a store and get something. And the reason I don't do it is because I feel like I'm getting ripped off every time I do.
Yeah,
it.
Exactly.
And I'm even willing to pay like maybe like a dollar or more for something just for having the convenience that it's on the shelf. I understand that you had to pay that employee to stock that. You had to do that. You had to do this. But when you're blatantly ripping people off.
Right. Well, and this is the situation I'm talking about with the $45 cable.
Yeah.
And it's like that cable costs you $1 to make probably.
Yeah.
And so this is what I tell people when they start freaking out about big box stores. And it's just like, honestly, like, fuck them, because they charge so much more. And I get that you can't – they're not going to be able to beat Amazon, but at least try. You know, maybe there's a premium cable that's $45, but you don't even have an option for a – like, I'm never I had no – I had no choice, and it was for a client, so they paid. You know, I just added on to my charges when they need equipment like that, and he needed it fixed immediately. So I'm like, fine, I'll run over to Best Buy. But now knowing that, for my own purposes, I know never to go to Best Buy for a cable again in my entire life, which I already don't anyway, because I kind of knew that. But the difference in price was so huge that it's just like, from now on, that's always going to be in my head of, if I need a cable for something, I'll wait the day that it takes from Amazon. I could have got next, even if it wasn't free shipping, I could have paid for next day or same day shipping and it been cheaper.
Yeah, you know, that's ridiculous.
You get a FedEx next day air shipping and it would have been cheaper than, you know. So it just, this is what I tell people, because you always have people freaking out about big box stores closing, and everyone's been up. Now, I wouldn't say upset, but they've been talking for a long time about Best Buy being on the brink of closing down. You know, the only day out of the entire year that they make profit is Black Friday.
Yeah.
So, and they wonder why. And it's just like, well, I can tell you why, because they're charging double, triple, quadruple, 10 times what it costs.
They're charging double, triple, and the customer service is subpar. Everything they need to be doing to bring people inside the store and want to come back, they don't do.
Right.
And the thing is, I even just, which people my age would just laugh that I even did this, but the thing is, I, like I said, like sometimes I just want to walk into a store and see if I can buy something. And I actually was looking for, like, shopping for a TV, and it ended really quickly because a lot of the times the employees didn't know anything about the TVs. Mm-hmm. We would walk over to a computer and start Googling stuff, and it's just like,
Why are you here?
Why am I here? I could be on my computer Googling stuff right now. Like, now I'm just looking like an idiot walking around and doing it with somebody else. So there are so many things they can do, and they just don't want to do it. And
just on a
hopefully
quick,
this is a wake up call.
A quick side note is I'd like to point out, I like certain stores like Walmart. I think they won't even match their own online prices. So like if you're in a Walmart trying to buy something that they have on their website for cheaper, they won't even match their own price.
Yeah.
So yeah, they've made it so difficult to want to support physical stores that. And all the things that you just complain about Best Buy, it's the same with Toys R Us. So that's part of the problem. It's like, yeah, they had a great selection, but for someone who's not 8 years old and has like a smartphone and knows how to search the internet and stuff, it's like there's no, like you said, you haven't been there for years. There's no reason to go to Toys R Us. They never have the best deals on anything. So why, you know, money matters. And very few people are willingly going to pay more for the same item.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's unfortunate, and hopefully they end up getting their shit together. Now, just real quick, I read some stuff. I basically, like, I don't know if it's conspiracy theories or if it's true this actually happened, but, like, I guess, like, Toys R Us was basically sabotaged by, like, they had people that bought it. They, like, went bankrupt a few years back or, like, sold.
Yeah.
And the people that bought it, they bought the company, and then the people who bought it had like $5 billion of debt. And when they bought the company, they transferred that debt over to Toys R Us. So their personal debts and their other businesses and stuff were basically like absolved of it. They just sold the debt to Toys R Us. And I imagine that the Toys R Us was like its separate entity. So then Toys R Us obviously couldn't make enough money to pay it off. That's what I heard and read a few times. So that's an interesting. And then also, real quick, the same week that they filed bankruptcy, or the owner, the creator of Toys R Us, died. Did you see that?
I did see that.
Yeah. So, and, you know, I'm sure that this probably had something to had a part in it. I think it's too coincidental that this guy dies the same week that his company that he spent his whole life building goes away. So
it's sad.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. So we'll see what happens to Toys R Us. I mean, I think the KB Toys thing, that's pretty neat. So I didn't know about that. But something that's not really huge newsworthy, but just kind of cool that the original Punch-Out for Arcade is going to come out on the Switch. Did you know that?
I did know that. I'm relatively excited for it.
Yeah, I'm relatively. Have you actually ever played the original Punch-Out on Arcade?
Yeah, we played it. Wait, you might not have been there. We played it in this barcade in New York City once.
Okay, I played it a couple times. I think I've actually, like, I think I randomly ran into it in like one of the most like random places. Just like, yeah. They only had like two arcade machines, and Punch Out was one of them.
It's a pretty rare machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played it. It's not as good as the NES game.
No, it's not as good as the NES one. It's kind of like, it's, well, basically everything it tried to do, Super Punch Out did better.
Right. Yeah, it's not as good as either, but it is a decent game. And I guess we'll kind of move away from Punch-Out itself and focus on the fact that Nintendo is releasing these old arcade games because these haven't been represented at all over the years. And, like, a lot of people have never heard of or knew about, like, versus Super Mario Brothers. And that's, like, a pretty important, I'd say a pretty interesting and important game by the biggest game company of all time, and people just don't know about it, have never played it. Same thing with Punch-Out. Like, Punch-Out is a beloved game, the NES version. It's like there's this different version of it that has totally different fighters and everything that's existed that nobody's ever played, really. And there's several games like this that, yeah, Nintendo's kind of just ignored over the years.
Yeah. I think it's really cool just because there's a lot of interesting ones that came out, and like WarioWare has even, like, the only time I ever really, the first time I found out about a lot of these old arcade games was like through WarioWare, because like WarioWare would reference a lot of them and like really old, like basically like almost Atari ripoffs and stuff. But the thing is, like, it's still part of their history, and I still want to have the opportunity to actually play them, and I always want a legitimate way to play games, so it's nice to see that these games are getting released. So I hope they continue to do that.
I really wish that they would have just released a collection of all their arcade games.
We beat this with the dead horse, though. I mean, like, when it comes to that, like,
well, it's just, I don't want to pay $8 per game that I'm gonna play for an hour.
No, you're right. I mean,
it doesn't even need to be a physical collection. Just give me a $40 to $60 collection that I can download that has every arcade game that they've made, not fucking one at a time at $8 a piece. Nobody's gonna pay $8 for the original Mario Bros.
Well, I think Nintendo prays in the fact that they do make these so exclusive and they don't release them, so they can bring these out and just be like, all right, well, this is the first time you can play it, and the only way you're gonna play it is buying it individually. And the thing is, they don't have like a huge amount of old Nintendo arcade games.
They have a decent amount
of like unreleased ones, though. Yeah, like
I don't know how different they are than the like NES versions, but I mean, there was like Urban Champion and stuff. I might just be thinking of the NES, or not the Play Choice 10. But I know there is a versus series, like Nintendo versus series, that I'm pretty sure there are some like light gun games that were arcade games, basically, that, you know, you they would have the gun built in and you could play it like that. So let me just pull up the list here of versus games. There was versus Balloon Fight, versus Baseball, Clue Land, Dr. Mario, Duck Hunt, Excite Bike, Football, Gumshoe, Head to Head Baseball, which was unreleased, Hellfighter, which is unreleased, Hogan's Alley, Ice Climber, Mach Rider, Mahjong, Motocross, Pinball, Slalom, Soccer, Stroke and Match Golf, Super Mario Bros., Tennis, Urban Champion, Volleyball, and Wrecking Crew. And then, wow, it goes on and on. Versus Castlevania, The Goonies. Now, some of these, I'm sure, are mostly ports. They have a versus Tetris. They have a versus Blaster Master. So some of these, I'm sure, were just direct ports from the NES versions. But some of these are like versus Super Mario Brothers, where it starts off as a similar game, but then it's totally different. You ever played that?
No, versus Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah.
No, I haven't touched it. I know that it's like this a more challenging version of
it's basically Brothers. where Mario Brothers 2 got its start at.
Yeah.
Like, after the first couple of levels, it totally changes into like a super difficult game because they want to eat your quarters.
Yeah.
So it's a cool thought. And like Punch-Out is a really cool game for them to release. This is going to be if I was to buy one, it would be this one. because it's a totally different game than the...
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I mean in terms of, like, I'm more excited about the games that haven't seen a release, which there's not that many when in terms of, like, completely original Nintendo arcade games that came out nowhere else.
Right. Yeah, so it's definitely worth checking out and interesting, I think. And also there's something to be said about, like, the fact that even the ones that had NES releases weren't necessarily direct ports, you know, that, like, there were, some of them could be pretty good, but others were not fantastic. So, yeah, it's, I recommend if you have a Switch and you've never played versus Super Mario Brothers or the original Punch-Out arcade game, download these and check them out. They're worth trying out, especially Punch-Out, so... just before we leave, I figure we'll go over what you've been playing recently.
Well, I'm still working on Persona 5, obviously. I've actually barely been able to touch it because it's just... I'm in such a handheld game mood that I've been... I started playing Danganronpa, another episode, Ultra Despair Girls, which is kind of like the 1.5 in the series where it takes place between 1 and 2.
Uh-huh.
And the rest of the games are completely visual novel, like Phoenix Wright mystery type games. And this one is, like, a complete, like, an action game.
Oh, okay. Like, so, a hack and slash, or?
Well, actually, a little bit of both. Like, a little, partly third-person shooter and partly hack and slash, because you play two different girls, and you switch back and forth between them, and one of them is, like, a hack and slash girl.
Okay.
And the other one carries a gun, which is actually, like, a megaphone, which sends out, like, radioactive waves.
How long are the... Danganronpa.
Danganronpa games. They're, I would say the first one was like 30 something hours.
Oh no.
I mean, I can look up right now how long to beat. Okay, maybe not 30 hours. That's probably like the high end, but like probably between like 20, 25 okay. hours. So. And apparently this one that I'm working on is going to take me around the same exact time to beat.
Yeah. So. It's just, I think it's funny how your attitudes towards gaming change as you get older, because back in the day when I didn't have a lot of money and had a lot of time, like, a long game was like, oh boy. And now it's like anything beyond like 15 hours, I'm like, God damn it.
I think what's happened to me is because I've been such in a handheld mood lately, and the thing is I'm anticipating so many JRPGs, and I've played a few this past year, that whenever I see 20 to 30, I'm like, oh, okay, I can handle that. Just yeah. because I've been playing such long games.
Yeah, these Persona games, 100 hours.
Yeah, so I'm liking the game so far. I've heard complaints about it, how the gameplay kind of is wonky, and I can totally see that so far. It is kind of weird, but... I like this, but the thing is, I'm already really deep into the storyline of Danganronpa that I'm already engaged. That's the thing with me, is that gameplay I can forgive if the story is good enough.
Yeah.
And I'm really into it so far. What about you?
Well, this last week I dumped a lot of time into the Wipeout Omega Collection for PS4. I beat Wipeout HD, which was the PS3 release, and I'm in the last couple of races of Wipeout 2048, which is the Vita game.
Hmm.
And I guess once I'm done with that, I'll head right into Wipeout Fury, which is... It was like an expansion of the PS3 game, but it has an equal amount of content. So it's more of a sequel, but it was marketed like an expansion when it came out. But it's, you know, it's like the Wipeout HD had 80 medals you can get, and Wipeout Fury has 80 medals, so it's like the same amount of courses and tracks and things like that. So I played a bit of that, and then
how's Mr. Mosquito going?
Yeah, so I was about to say I'm a little more than halfway through Mr. Mosquito.
First impressions?
Yeah, it's a game. It's a weird game. Very first impressions, like first level was like, man, the controls are really fucking weird. They take a lot to get used to. Once I got the controls down, it was fine. But part of it is You might be able to shut this off in the settings, but they're inverted controls.
Oh, yeah?
And I hate that. So it's like if you're flying like a jet or something.
Okay, I don't mind that so much.
It took some getting used to. And also, you don't... You always have to... I mean, it makes sense because you're a mosquito, so this is probably a real thing. You never... You can't stop. So you always have to be moving, either forward or backwards, and that makes it difficult. It's almost like a flying game because if you miss your target... So for those of you who've never played Mr. Mosquito, you play as a mosquito and you're terrorizing this Japanese family during the summer. And you're basically hiding out in their house. It's amazing. You're hiding out in their house and you're terrorizing this family. It's a dad, a mom, and a daughter. And you're waiting for them to, like, be distracted. And you have to, like, hit a specific spot on their body where you can suck their blood. But you have to, and you have a quota of how much blood you have to suck per day and per room. And you need to kind of like stay out of sight in order to, because the calmer they are, the like easier it is to suck their blood, the more blood you can get. And if you like act like a dumbass and like fly around in front of them too much or whatever, they'll be on to you. And if you land on them to bite them and suck their blood, they're gonna smack you and kill you with one hit. And let's say I was to miss my target and I have to come, you have to, it's like a plane, like you have to fly out like far away from where you were at because you missed it, and like circle around and come all the way back. You can't just like turn around and hit it again. Like you function similarly to like a World War II plane.
I remember it definitely made good use of the rumble.
Yeah.
Have you felt that?
Yeah. So, there's a lot of rumble going on. And, if you like, there's like a sweet spot that you have to, when you suck their blood, you have to like rotate the stick.
Mm-hmm.
And that's difficult because you have to rotate it like it's almost like a Mario Party. Like you can't just use your thumb. I have to use my whole palm in order to rotate the stick because
don't you rotate two sticks at the same time?
Or no, just one.
Oh.
So, so you have to stay in the sweet spot or else they're gonna notice you, and they'll smack you. There's all kinds of like little collectibles hidden around the levels and stuff, and there's like bonus stuff you can do. Like if you want, you can intentionally like pick a fight with the person, and they're like trying to smack you out of the air while you try and hit certain pressure points on their body to calm them down. And when you do that, there's a unlockable skin for the mosquito in each level. If you do that, so there's actually like some incentive to like enter into battle with the people. Anyway, very interesting game. One of, if not the weirdest game on the system, on the PlayStation 2.
It's actually part of this, it's called Fresh Games. I don't know if you noticed that in the front of your box where it says Fresh Games on it. Meaning like it was just a series where they were like releasing some original idea games, something that were fresh.
And yeah,
I played that one, but I also played eventually, I think you should get to, is Mad Maestro.
Yeah, that's on my list of games.
It's a very cheap game.
Yeah.
So hopefully some famous YouTuber doesn't make like a really big video on it. But so far, I find it for like $5, $6. I'm surprised I haven't bought it at this point. But
yeah, we talked about this, I think, a few months ago, and I said that it was on my radar.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Is that the only other game in the series? Or
there's actually multiple ones. Those are the only two ones that I actually played. I don't know what other ones
there
are.
I should just start collecting all of them because when you've been gaming as long as we have for nearly 30 years, and we're not normal, typical gamers. Like, I'm not satisfied buying, you know, the big AAA releases because I've gotten bored with them.
Yeah.
This is the kind of stuff that I like. I like weird, out-of-the-box type of stuff, just, you know, bizarre, like, stuff that hasn't been done before. And that's why this game's intrigued me for 15 years, is because I saw it and I was like, oh, a game where you fly around as a mosquito and terrorize people, that seems like it would be really fun and weird. And it is. So that's the kind of stuff that I look for now. And yeah, so maybe I'll check out the rest of the series. And yeah, what is it called again?
Fresh Games. Apparently, okay. They were a company that came out that they specialize in localizing quirky Japanese games.
Yeah. So how many games did they release?
I mean, apparently, according to this website, they published like 6 games.
Uh huh.
So it's like Zen Games, R Type Final, Swingers Golf, like Gaia 2 Dual Saga. It's an RPG. So maybe, but I mean, all I can attest to is that Mad Maestro was cool. That's all I can attest to, because Mad Maestro was neat because it actually took advantage of something that I don't think a lot of people realize, that the DualShock controller didn't just add like vibration and stuff like that. And because there was like the PlayStation 1 DualShock,
mm-hmm.
and then there was the PlayStation 2 DualShock, and what people won't realize is that it also added pressure sensitive buttons,
right?
To the point where they could actually read how hard you're hitting the buttons,
mm-hmm.
and this game takes full advantage of that, because you're an orchestra, you're like a conductor, is that what it would
be? Right, yeah.
And so it matters. It's a rhythm based game where it matters how hard you're pressing the button.
That's pretty cool.
So, and you can even like hold, you can even like be an idiot and just like hold notes for a long period of time and make the band sound like shit.
Okay. Oh.
So, we just go like stuff like that. So it's pretty cool, and like it's neat. It's a really beautiful looking game, because you're always like, I love rhythm games that have like a storyline alongside the game, where it's not just like DDR where it's just like a dancing person in the background, but no, like every level has like an intent of why they're playing the song. Like the first level is they're trying to get this couple's having a bad fight. They're trying to like get the couple back together.
Right.
So, and the worse you do, the more the guy looks like an idiot in front of the girl.
Yeah.
And the better you do, the more good he looks.
Okay.
So, highly recommend it. It's cheap. It's only like $5 on eBay. So if you guys are out there looking for a quirky, interesting game that hasn't like shot up in value, that is one of them to check out.
I will look for that next time I go to the game store. On that note, I guess that'll be all for us. So thanks for listening. If you made it this far, please subscribe to us on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play Music, and all that stuff. And I'll be out of town this next week, so we're going to be missing a week. And we'll see you in 2 more weeks.
See you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
you honest. Let's get it, yeah, let's see what we can uncover. Let's